Mike, I got a lot that I want to cover, but I think I can cover mine better if I know what you think you need right now or what you want to accomplish with this time together.
All right, here's my Cliff's Notes. Going out to the Dublin office, myself and Matt. We're pretty sure Matt's going to come out there. Maria is on board to come with us, so Maria is very, very familiar with the scheduling.
Yeah.
And having some good proactive conversations with clients about getting onto the Supernova process. So we're really in the midst of doing that. Hitting on the big points, reducing the number of clients to give a higher level of service, replicate great clients just like themselves, create work-life balance, really try to have a Ritz-Carlton type of service model for our clientele and to never get sloppy by getting too big, I guess, over time. So I feel like the conversations have been good. They've been very receptive to the monthly calls. So Maria's been doing a good job of getting that started. For the lower portion of the book, the second person will be coming on board in the first quarter of next year. It's going to be a combination of things. They're going to take over that lower book, and they are going to do the maintenance on that lower book. They're going to be coming over from a bank, and they're bringing over their best relationships, and I'm going to be taking over the higher relationships, and I'll continue to feed them lower relationships.
So this is a recruit to the firm?
Yes. It's in the eighth inning of being finalized.
Okay. And is it one person or two?
One.
All right. And when you go to the Dublin office, Maria's probably going also. How many people will Maria support?
Myself and Matt.
Okay. All right. You comfortable with that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Matt's not a whole lot of maintenance. And then this other person, we're really going to, this new person we're onboarding, we're going to, they're going to have a lot of skin in the game as far as maintaining a lot of their own relationships. Take that off Maria's plate.
Okay, so they're going to do their own support work?
Yes. I mean, Maria's going to help getting the onboarding stuff.
Yeah.
As far as the monthly calls, as far as doing like distributions or sweeping over money or stuff like that, changing beneficiaries or whatever it may be, that person's going to take care of all that stuff.
All right. Maria, are you going to have responsibility, officially have responsibility for that person?
Not really. I mean, I'll help him out when he needs to, but I plan on teaching him how to do everything himself.
All right. Will he have an assistant, or are you officially his assistant?
She's officially his assistant, but he's going to be kind of like the way that we're going to try to set this up is to where he's kind of like his own assistant.
Okay. All right. I hear what you're saying. I can't imagine some of that isn't going to back up into Maria, but you all have thought through this. I don't want to get hung up there.
We've thought it through. Well, some of it kind of kicked back to Maria. I imagine he's going to have some questions getting onboarded, but he's been a banker through Chase Bank for the last 6 years and has done all of his own service in the past. I think if we put him in the right direction of getting the service, doing his own servicing to start off with, he will be able to take care of those items.
Okay.
At least about 80 to 90% of it.
All right. I went through our emails. You and I had several emails. And you said to me in the October 5th email that your motivation for being involved in Supernova, the number one thing was work-life balance.
Yeah.
You gave some specific examples. You also said family goals, better relationship with your wife, deepen your faith and your relationship with Jesus Christ, get your hours down, and I'm not going to read them because you know what they are, reduce Saturdays hours and no Sundays.
Yes, sir.
Three times a week. So when you think all of those are terrific goals, several of them overlap, and you can figure that out. Maria knows how you want to be scheduled. She knows that you want to start your day at 7. You'll start as early as 7, and you want to be finished by 4:30. Or am I reading that right?
You got it.
At least
all my appointments to be wrapped up by then. If I'm going to stick around and check some emails or something like that, that's fine. But I'd rather just have no appointments going back that far. And we're trying to do all of our appointments in the morning, all of our monthly calls.
When you go in on Saturdays, are you just kind of cleaning things up from the week, or are you planning for next week? Just give me a really brief idea of what your Saturdays look like.
It's clean up.
Okay. All right. And reducing the size of your practice is going to help with that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Now, how many appointments do you want to do a day, Mike?
Really, it doesn't matter.
Well, it does. I have to make sure that what you are trying to accomplish, you're setting enough time aside to do that. Here's what I'm thinking about, and forgive me for being a little bit, it's not random. It's all going somewhere, but it might seem random. You've got a flatter practice than most.
Yeah, the compensation's kind of, it's not geared towards all the high end.
Well, you sent me that spreadsheet. You didn't put your clients' names, but you put all the statistics on it. And, you've heard the 80-20 rule your whole life, that 80% of your business comes from 20% of your clients. In your practice, 80% of 20% of your clients give you a little over 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So you understand what I say about your practice being a little bit flatter?
Yep, I get it 100%. Marie,
okay. 37% of your households, which is your top 100, give you 72% of your PCs. So what that tells me, and I haven't done.
What was the top 50, Rob?
Say it again.
What was the top 50 percentage?
The top 50 people give you 49.6% of your business.
Gotcha, 50%.
Gotcha. And then your top 100 give you almost 72% of your business.
Okay.
So what these numbers tell me is that normally if you look at somebody's top 20%, they're significantly larger than the rest of the practice.
Yeah.
Yours is flatter. So the question is, how much, and I'm not looking down to the penny, Mike, but how much gross are you willing to walk away from in order to accomplish your very important, well-thought-out goals?
A good question. It's a good question. I don't have an answer for you today.
Well, here's. I asked you how many calls you're willing to make a day, and you said it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter, because until you know how many calls you're going to make a day, you don't know how many relationships you can give 12-4-2 to.
What's the normal amount of calls people make per day, Rob?
All of our metrics are done. All of our metrics are done on 100 households.
Yeah.
And that's not just a round number. It was a thought out number. If you make five, we schedule 20 days a month. If you talk to five people a day, you can talk to 100 clients once a month. That's the metrics. Now, what we're finding, Mike, is that more people, a lot of people are getting well below 100. And the reason that's important is if you have 80 households, that's only four calls a day. Or you can do four days of five and have one day totally free. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of having the Friday free.
Okay, so if you say, Rob, and the other reason that we use five and not more is that when you get above five a day, it's our thought that the what number six would get would not be of the same quality as number two got.
Just,
you know, it's later in the day. You're a little bit more tired. I mean, you can do if you make six calls a day, then you can give 120 people monthly contact. So, until you decide here, see, Mike, every profession that you're aware of, almost every profession, the professional controls his or her calendar. You don't call your eye doctor and say, "Hey, doc, I'd just like to chat for a minute." You know, all of that. The doctor schedules that. He is in control of his calendar. So you deserve the same thing. If you want to take Fridays off like physicians do, or Thursday afternoon to play golf like physicians do, whatever, you have to control the calendar. Now, this is where the junior partner comes in.
Yep.
What you gave me is, let me look at my notes here. You said you were going to add what you called a junior broker in the first quarter, and that he'll be bringing some large relationships, and you're going to be the relationship manager.
Yeah.
And the fellow from the bank is going to concentrate on the bottom part of your practice.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
You got it.
Okay. So let's just think a minute. If you got down to your top 150 and each of you were responsible for 75, I'm just making that up.
Mm-hmm.
I would always like the senior person, you, to have fewer than 100 households, but if you got down, if the two of you focused on your top 150, that would be 86% of your practice, of your growth. You see, are you with me on the thought process?
Top 150 is 86%.
86.6% is what I have. Now, if each of you took 100, and I'm not recommending that at all, that would be 96% of your business.
Mm-hmm.
So, if this person coming in from the bank, give me a first name.
Josh.
Can Josh come in, sit down, and once he understands the system, could he start talking to clients right away?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to be dramatic, but this is like the key to this whole thing for you. If you have 70 and he has, if 70 from 150, he has 80, now your week looks a lot more open.
Mm-hmm.
Because to talk to 70 people, let's see, 80 would be 4 a day, 60 would be 3. You'd have some weeks where you're talking to 9 people. You'd have some weeks where you're talking to 16 people. But do you see how your calendar becomes so much more open the fewer clients you have?
Sure does.
Mike, if you don't do that, you'll never have the balance in your life that you want to have. Balance is in We spend a whole session on balance in your life. Balance is what allows you to leave the office with a clear mind, go home and refresh or exercise or whatever you do, and then come in the next day fully energized, prepared to run another sprint. The old thing, you see older advisors in your office who are tired, they have no energy, and they're like running a marathon. And you know what happens at the end of a marathon, everybody gets sick. What you want to do is you want to run a daily sprint. work a day with high energy, go home, relax, do the things that allow you to recover from the stress of the day, and then come back in the next day, you're running the daily sprints. The fellows I've described in your office are running a marathon. It looks much different. So the whole key here is how many relationships can you get down to, and the answer to that is determined by what kind of load Josh can take and how many relationships you're willing to jettison.
These
calls that you're making to your clients, and they like hearing it, they like hearing about the monthly schedule contact, all of those things, that makes sense that they like it, because the number one driver of client satisfaction is proactive FA contact. If you don't reduce the size of the practice, you will not be able to deliver that consistently. It's just too much. You can't give that kind of service. Maria can't give that kind of service if Maria's got a service 270 relationships.
I agree.
So the key here is, now if you say to me, Rob, I don't want to get rid of a lot of, it looks to me, Mike, like you've got some easy decisions to make. When you get down to the last 70 people give you 5% or 4% of your business, in general, those are usually pretty easy decisions. But if you want to say, Rob, I'm committed to go down to, I'll make the number up, go down to 80 households for me and 80 for Josh, total of 160, I'm committed to do that, and I'll cut everybody after 160, but I'm not going to do it until Josh gets here. I'm good with that.
Yeah, we're preparing Josh, like Josh's people. We're getting people on the calendar that I know that I'm not going to be having the conversations with in the future. We're preparing Josh's schedule now to where he can start taking over a portion of these relationships. And he can step in pretty much right away and start doing it.
Well, because of the flatness of your practice, you would be cutting some pretty serious production to get down to 100 people.
Yeah.
I've never seen a practice as flat as yours. And I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just a fact. I was really tickled to see that you're bringing somebody in, and especially somebody who's up and ready to go. When you said junior broker, I'm thinking of some, you know, brand new person sitting out in the boardroom now. This is a much better solution. So
this is the individual. I'm really, really confident in the individual.
Good. Have you been involved in recruiting him?
Yep, I've known the person for 7 or 8 years. I've worked with them for 2 years personally.
Okay.
Kept great relationship. They're ready to roll.
When are you going to start doing your Supernova calls?
Kicking off. Some have already kicked off.
Okay.
But everybody we're scheduling now, we're scheduling to start off in 2016.
Okay.
We went the last month. We have to swing to another office.
Yeah.
We want to just, you know, prepare the business for 2016 for the last, you know, month and 10 days.
Okay. Maria, are you comfortable with the Supernova scheduling tool, the spreadsheet?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'd rather ask you the question on something you really know, I know you know, but I got to do it. You know that you can't schedule all of Mike's clients on the same cycle. He can't have all his reviews in January, April, July, so on. You've got to spread them out over the year.
Correct.
Okay, good. All right. Well, Mike, it feels to me that the number one thing you can do is to continue to make the calls to your clients, the ones you know are staying with you, and tell them about the refinements. I would make sure that, you know, you're going to talk about your new service model, 1242 rapid response to any questions, problems, inquiries with a 24-hour resolution standard and multi-generational and fully implemented planning. But I think it's also important that you let people know that you are significantly reducing the size of the practice. That makes people feel better. Now, let's just talk for a second. Why, and I read in your in one of your emails that your minimum now is $500,000 for new business. Is mm-hmm. that right?
Yes.
Okay. Why? I'm not going to do it that way. Let me tell you why it's important to have a minimum and why it's important that you reduce the size of your practice. It's because you can't do business with everybody.
You're right.
You will never, and I said this during Supernova with the whole team. I don't know if you were on the day I said it. You can never let the size of your practice, the growth of your practice, compromise the service that you give to your existing clients.
I agree.
That's a thought process. You don't have a minimum because you're snooty or you're whatever. You do that because in recognition of the fact that you can never let your growth compromise your service. That's very heartening for a referral source to hear. You know, you used to take $100,000 relationships. Now it's $500. What are you Billy Big Shot now? No,
yeah.
I'm not. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. I have instituted a minimum because I never want to let the growth of my practice compromise the service I give to my existing clients. You got it?
Got it.
Okay. Now, another thing I would want you to get into your what you're telling your clients, the ones who are staying with you, is make sure that you tell them you have instituted a minimum of $500,000 for new business. They need to hear that. It's part of your brand. Now, again, repeating from earlier in Supernova, your minimum is $500,000 unless there are extenuating circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
What's an extenuating circumstance? I'll paint you a quick picture. Somebody's got $35,000 now, but they're getting a $2 million rollover in December, and it's coming to you. You're going to open that $35,000 relationship, aren't you?
Yep, you got it.
Of course you are. So your minimum is $500,000 unless there are new business, unless there are extenuating circumstances. Now, when you work that into your talks to your clients, some of them are going to hear that it's everybody under $500,000 is going to have to leave your practice. Make sure they understand that's for new business. Again, that sharpens your brand.
Yep.
All right. So the two things that I think are really important here, I like the work you're doing. I like the calls you're having with your clients. The two most important things that you can do is to continue to talk to your clients and get them on the January schedule or February, whatever. And you've got to make a decision on the people that you are getting rid of. And I hate to use it that way. It sounds cold, but what we're not talking about getting rid of people. We're talking about creating more time for you to give to your best clients. That makes all the sense in the world. So that's the – once you do that, I think you're in great shape with Josh to provide that service you want to provide and control your calendar so you can take Friday afternoons off in the summer and the things that you want to do, the things that will make you a better advisor.
I agree, Rob. I agree. So we're pretty
and
about
I you know what, Mike? I wish that I had the goals that you have when I was your age. Life goes by in a hurry. You have kids? Mike.
Sorry, what did you say, Rob?
Do you have children?
Two girls, 1 and 3.
Yep. You're going to blink, and they're going to be in high school. So what you're doing right now, making decisions about not reducing how hard you work, just changing the way you're running your practice, are going to pay huge dividends going forward and bringing that balance into your life that you want to have.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I've heard from a lot of folks that it goes really quick.
Oh, man. I got my 9-year-old grandson here today. We're out sawing wood. I mean, my son is 43. I can't believe it. I mean, life goes so quickly. So you're doing all the right things until you got to get your practice segmented. You got to decide what you want, how many appointments you want to have a day, and then that tells you how many clients you can have. Again, if you get down to 80, then
how far should we set these appointments far from each other? So if we've got like a 9 o'clock, should it be 10 o'clock?
Everybody gets an hour.
All right.
Here's what I want you to do. The reason is because some of your calls are going to – people are scheduled, for example. Let's say Mrs. Jones is the second Tuesday of every month, all right? Okay. Some of those calls are going to be portfolio reviews, and they're going to take an hour. So the second Tuesday of every month from 10 to 11 is Mrs. Jones's time. So everybody has to be scheduled for an hour. Now, in reality, you're not going to spend the hour. Eight of the 12 calls are non-review calls, Mike, and they take 5 or 10 minutes unless the client wants to dig deeper, which is usually a good thing for an advisor.
Yep.
So even though you might be scheduled in a day for 4 hours, in reality, you probably are scheduled for less than 1 hour call and 3 15-minute calls.
Agreed.
So your calendar is a lot more open than it looks.
Okay.
Maria, you got any questions around what I just talked about?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
We're just scheduling down. It's great.
Simple process here, Mike. Keep making the calls and get your practice down to its core. And again, you don't have to cut them. You know, as long as you got Josh coming, take that into consideration. If you want to have 70, then he has 80. That's 150. That's 150. What did I say? 150 is 85% of your business. But, you know, you can manicure it. You can say each of us want to do 80, whatever.
Got it.
But you got to decide that before we move on.
Got it. Well, we're pretty excited about it. Got a guy I want you to talk to, Rob. His name's John Cook.
Yeah?
John's 50. He's got 400 relationships. He does about 1-4. Going to be quasi kind of partnering with him when I move out to this place.
Yep.
How the new partnership's going to work is we're going to continue to run our practices how we run them. All new business will go into a pot, but all existing books we continue to kind of keep as is under our own numbers. And throughout the year, kind of work towards trying to become a team. You know, with just different, you know, client opening processes, client communication, etc. I've been a big proponent of Supernova. The third partner is a guy who has 75 relationships, and he's perfect for it. He kind of does a Supernova already. But John Cook's a guy I want you to maybe have a conversation with just to say, hey, John, you know, this is kind of where you're at. You know, John's frustration is he doesn't feel like he can grow any further. And his admin's just up to her gills and work.
Yeah, I've heard that one before. Do you want me to reach out to him, or are you going to have him reach out to me?
I'll send you guys an email.
Okay, good. Good, I'd be happy to do that. Now, well, let me ask you a quick question, then I got to go. I got a 9-year-old out in the yard with a saw. Are you and Josh going to work out of a pool and then split the pool out?
So Josh is going to be in the training program.
Yep.
The first 16 months. So Josh is just going to be more or less, the firm has stepped up. They're going to give him a base.
Yeah.
He's comfortable with. His job is going to be to learn and get on board for the first 16 months. He's got passes 7. But he's been managing financial relationships for quite some time through Chase Bank. And then after that 16 months, we will be pulled together.
Okay. All right. So if you give him responsibility for one of your relationships, that production still flows to you.
Yes.
That's a heck of a deal. Now, and you say he doesn't have his 7 yet?
No, he's going to get in the first couple months of being here.
Yeah, well, he can't talk to client. Well, I don't have to tell you that. He can't talk to client until he gets that behind him.
Yeah, the whole game plan is to get him here, get him licensed, and get all this stuff rolling.
Yeah, I got it. Anything else?
No, Rob, appreciate all you do.
All right, well, you're kind. Keep making those calls. Get the practice segmented, and you'll be on your way.
Appreciate it, Rob.
All right. See you. See you, Maria.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.